This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And yet another win. Here we go. And yet another nice... How about 13 days off for Tatsuya Imai? And he comes through with a nice outing. He had a lot of velocity. He had a lot of movement. He was pretty damn good. He gave him 4 hits over 6 innings, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts, though. 96 pitches. His ERA now down to 5.59, which is nice. Mm-hmm. That's nice for an Astro starter.
Got under the
5.59. Okay.
Got under the 6.0 mark.
Yeah. that was nice. 13 days off. Dude, probably he needed it. And the Astros come through despite, A.J. Blueball come in and had his problems. Mm-hmm. And Josh Hader had to come in at the end and close it down. The Astros have beaten the Marlins. The Marlins are a team that's really scuffling right now. But Yordan continues to rake. Jeremy Pena leads off with a home run. Isak Paredes with the homer and with just another. Is it amazing? All the home runs he has in his career, every single one of them to left field. I mean, you talk about a perfect
place
for this guy.
That's what it was coming in. Like, they already knew that.
Yeah.
This is a given. Like, this is a Deadpool hitter, and that's why they got him. And guess what? Came as advertised.
Is there a better place for him to be than Houston?
No, not really.
With the Crawford boxes?
No. Remember when there wasn't a room for him before the season?
Oh, yeah, I remember. Because, we have too many.
Got to move Paredes. Too many great hitters in this lineup.
Yes. Where is he going to play?
Where can Paredes play?
Because what are we going to do with him? Injuries.
I know. This is a healthy team. What are we going to do with him?
Yeah. How in the world are we going to find a way to get him on the field?
Bless. That never made sense to be in a hurry to just get rid of him so you had nothing behind you at all.
Yeah.
And I got to say, we are in Houston are becoming an injury factory. Well, the Astros are.
Yeah.
I mean, they have, over the last 3 years, they are a factory of injuries. So why would you think that one guy who plays multiple positions wouldn't have some value? That was just a money. I'm convinced that was just about shaving off salary. Yeah, stop operating like that. Stop thinking about trying to move a guy like Paredes for a salary shave. My gosh. Because remember the conversation was, well, you'd rather move Walker, but no one will take Walker, so Paredes. No, they didn't move Paredes. So, yeah. maybe – cooler heads prevailed or smarter people prevailed and they didn't do it. But even that conversation that was out there, Brian was out there with Chandler Rome with Brian McTaggart. So it's not like this was made up. This isn't a sports radio topic. They legitimately were looking at moving Paredes.
Yeah. Well, you really needed some outfield help. And that was why it was so talked to. And you still need it. I mean, what we thought of the outfield coming into the season is absolutely true. It's the worst offensive outfield in baseball. So you really, really still. I could see from a point of necessity. Yes, you needed somebody that you could trade for somebody that was decent offensively, an outfielder that was decent offensively. But man, getting rid. Well, we're too good in the infield, really, because there's never any injuries. Carlos Correa is going to be healthy. Jeremy Pena is going to be healthy. No worries there. Mm-hmm. Jose Altuve Christian Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no worries about injuries there. So, yeah, that was dumb. That was just dumb. Every time I heard that, I was like, oh, my God, please. He'll be on the field. No worries. I'm seeing a lot of baseball. MLB Network is jumping on the Yordan thing. Another couple of hits yesterday for Yordan.
What do you mean they're jumping on the Yordan thing? Off?
He didn't hit any homers yesterday.
What do you mean they're jumping on the Yordan thing?
They're jumping on the Yordan bus, you know, that MVP. Although, I can somebody explain wins above replacement to me? Because Bobby Witt and I forget who the other one is, the other shortstop that, McGonagall from Detroit, they have higher WARs than Yordan. How can you have a higher WAR than you? Well, it's a defense. Yeah. Their defense is really good, but I mean, dude's leading in triple. He's got a 4.6 WAR while they have 4.9 WARs. You can't tell me that there is a better that you would rather have either of those guys on your team than Yordan.
No,
I don't know that there's anybody in the a healthy Shohei. Shohei's got a.
I mean,
Shohei's got a
every,
knee right now.
Yeah, he's pitching and hitting.
Yeah, right.
And Yordan stayed. You know, I don't want to say the H word, but he stayed the H word.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to jinx.
You got to keep that to yourself.
Yeah. It's a lot like a no hitter.
Yeah.
Yordan seems to be available frequently. I'll just say that.
Yep.
He's frequently
Yordan
available.
Is available right now.
Yeah, he's frequently available.
Yes. And thank God Yordan is available. I was thinking about that yesterday. It was goodness gracious. And listening to Todd and Blummer, Todd was like, hey, you know what? If this team, you know, if it doesn't do anything, we still have something to watch every single day that's important. Mm-hmm. And it's Yordan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right.
Well, that's how I feel.
He's must watch baseball.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm cheering right now for Yordan. I will say, I still actually, there's still some, excitement may not be the word, but there's still some, a higher level of interest watching Imai pitch. Because he's got good stuff. He can have days like he had yesterday because he's got strikeout stuff. And I do think there's still a ceiling for him that, you know, that he can reach. Like, I still think there's a lot of meat on the bone. What you see statistically from an ERA standpoint, I think he's much better than that potentially. A lot of the other guys, like Renel Blanco's a 32-year-old. I don't care. I don't really care about Tang. Mike Burrows, I didn't care about.
You got Hunter.
You want Hunter to get better. Yeah. I mean, I've seen Hunter's kind of a known quantity. He's not pitching like he's – like he's capable of, but I know what Hunter is, which is a good thing. I mean, he's a really good pitcher. With Imai, I've got something I'm not sure about. And so that's of interest. But I had dinner last night with friends in the neighborhood, and we were talking about a little bit about the Astros. And anytime we used to go over to their house, the Astros were just on. They were just on. And that was that. And the wife, Sarah, said, you know, I used to look so forward to watching the Astros. I couldn't wait for baseball season. And Rob said, I'm not even watching them. Unless I'm going to the game, I'm not even watching this year. Now, he did say part of it is he cut the cords, he's YouTube TV, then you have to get Space City Network separately, you got to use username and password. It's harder, but he's also just said just doesn't have the same interest level.
You can stream it now.
Well, through Space City Sports.
Yeah, you get this.
Yeah, you got to pay the extra $20 a month for that,
right?
Along with getting the YouTube TV, and he just said it's just a pain, and he just kind of checked out on them, and it's actually been happening. It's not just this year. It's actually, you know, it's been happening where they've been trailing off the last 3 years, but just at different rates. But I think that's kind of where they stand right now. Is we're watching Yordan, and you're just it's just not the same anymore. It happens. Yeah. It was a run. I expected it. This is not something I didn't expect. I'm not sure if it's something that you expected. Maybe not to be under 500. I don't know, but I didn't expect a whole lot from this team. So I'm not. This isn't.
No,
like
I expected them to be better than this. I expected this.
Okay.
More than this.
I expected them to be about third in a division.
I thought. Well,
I didn't know the division would be this bad.
I had no idea that all the pitching acquisitions would be this crap.
Yeah, They you know,
I thought Burrows would be good. I was hopeful about Wisniewski. I was hopeful about Weiss.
Were you hopeful? I remember distinctly.
Imai, I thought was going to be much better than this.
I didn't know on Imai, but I just thought, well, you have McCullers and Javier to start the year.
I had no faith and no expectations of either of those two.
Well, and that's why I wasn't high on the Astros. Because I had no expectations for those. Burrows, I didn't know. Hunter Brown, I expected big things from. Imai, didn't know. I did get a little more skeptical with Imai once this guy who follows Japanese baseball said, yeah, he's not even really considered to be that great here.
Well,
this is
kind of
weird he got paid like that. I'm like, hey,
your Japanese sources?
My Japanese sources that I read on Twitter.
Oh.
Said the guy who said.
I thought
said,
you were talking to a guy in a cab there.
No. They didn't know who he was.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, I swear to God. My guy, when we were in Tokyo, and we had a guide, and this guide worked in sports for a little bit as a photographer. You know, loved Shohei Ohtani. I said, hey, have you ever heard of Tetsuya Imai? The Astros got him. He goes, I never heard of him. I said, yeah, he's Japanese. I don't think he's South Korean. He's Japanese. You don't know Imai?
I don't
know who that guy is.
You said to him?
Yeah, I had to check myself. Like, you should know this guy,
apparently
right? Imai goes, never heard of him.
Apparently
I'm like,
not.
Like, what? That apparently seems impossible. Not. And then when the other guy read on Twitter said, yeah, I followed Japanese baseball closely and have. It was a scout of some sort, a guy who does this. And he said, in baseball circles, people can't believe that. He said, you look at what Imai was paid, which is nothing like Japanese guys who usually come over. They were really surprised the Astros, you know, we were surprised the Astros ended up with him because they don't usually get Japanese players. And his whole thing was, yeah, he's not that great. That's one of the reasons why the Dodgers didn't want him and Yankees. And I'm like, hey. So that's when I was cooled down a little bit there. I was like, let me see if this guy's right. And then...
Look at yesterday. Okay, things have turned around. I don't know if you heard.
Mm-hmm.
Things have turned around for our Astros. Okay.
Well, they've won two in a row after losing
two
three
in a row.
How many in a row did they lose? How many before the break? Three in a row. Did they lose? Were they in a 6-game losing streak?
Four game losing.
They lost one. Well, I know they lost three against the Orioles, but only one headed into the break. Right? Yeah. So they were on a 4-game losing streak. And then we got two of them back. So that's good. Just got to win today and sweep.
They had lost three out of four series heading into the break. Then they lost the Orioles series, so four out of five. And now they won this series. So, boom, back. They're back, all right? Your boy, Jeff Passan, put out there yesterday that it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Jeremy Peña. He's got a year of arbitration left, and the Astros showed with Kyle Tucker with a year to go. It was the offseason when they did it, but they're not, you know, maybe they've had a change of heart and letting guys just walk like Correa and Springer and Cole and all of those guys that they let just walk. That maybe now it's a little different where they're trying to get something for Jeremy Peña, and maybe it'll be, if they continue to struggle, maybe it'll be this trade deadline.
Yeah.
And that would be disheartening to see, because then we'd watch Nick Allen every day. Nothing against Nick Allen and his family. I'm sure
in
he's
the long
very
run,
nice
though,
young man.
We get to avoid the fake, well, is he going to sign or the Astros going to... We had that fake, you know, conversations about can the Astros re-sign Jeremy Peña?
The answer is
instead,
no.
The answer is already no. So why not get somebody for him? I mean, it's the reality. You have to face the reality. You can't just keep like, I want to see nearly 500 baseball every day. Like,
well,
yeah, he's
I want to see
player. That's why he has value.
I want to see Jeremy. I mean, you know, we talk about all the time is availability. And Jeremy's had some issues this season. Hasn't been able to stay on the field for the most part.
Yeah.
And when he has, he's around an 800 OPS guy. He's near 800 OPS. And you know what? I don't think that, but one of the reasons I don't think that Jeremy's had a successful season is because he hasn't been here that much.
Yeah.
And secondly, I would like to see, especially if, you know, he thinks he's a guy who's going to get, he's a Boris guy now, if he's going to get 25, 30 million a year, then he needs to, he's playing a really nice shortstop, but he needs to hit better. He needs to hit more. You need more out of him offensively. And I'm not sure that the Astros, I hate to lose Jeremy Pena, but guess what? You're going to lose Jeremy Pena. There's no question you're going to lose Jeremy Pena. So when do you do it? Now or this offseason? When will you get more for him?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I always think kind of, if you still have a little bit more time this year. You have somebody who could be in a playoff run this year. There may be value between two teams. Once you take it to the offseason, it becomes a question of, do you expand? I would expect you expand the pool of people who'd be interested, but you still have to remember that whoever goes after him, are you really going to rent him for 1 year? Because Scott Boras, you know, you'd like to have a shot. Now, we've seen the Chicago Cubs. They pulled rentals on Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker. So, you know, that was a bit of a surprise that the Cubs on Tucker. I thought the Cubs were going to, I thought they had designs on keeping Kyle Tucker, and they just let him walk. They gave up Cam Smith, who was highly rated in their organization, and then let him walk. And that's the problem, is if you get Jeremy Pena, you have to know that, you know, if the Reds called about Jeremy Pena or something, like, you know, are y'all going to keep him, or are you just renting him? Because I want prospects coming back that don't smell like a rental, that smell like, we love this guy, we want to marry Jeremy Pena. I want good prospects coming back.
Yep.
And that's Dana. And you know what? Let's just be real. I don't know that I want Dana doing a deal.
No, I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one, because he's a lame duck.
He's a lame duck.
That's a tough call. Hey, we're headed back to the Golden Nugget, and we're going to do our fantasy draft there. And tomorrow morning, in the 7 o'clock hour, in this hour, tomorrow morning, we're going to be giving away a spot for you and a friend to be in the league with us. So you are a 7 o'clock listener. Make sure that you're listening tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour. The winner's going to get a two-night stay at the Golden Nugget on the 27th and 28th of August, a $200 in food and beverage credit, and dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook during the Fantasy Draft. Tune in Thursday for your chance to win. So that's tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, we are going to be giving away a spot. So looking forward to that. We've also, keep on listening, too. We've got our listener appreciation party that's coming up, as a matter of fact, right then as well. So we got all of that going on at the end of August. You got to listen, keep on listening for your chance to be with us on those things. And listen, you keep on listening to me talk about the Brinkmans. R-O-O-F. R-O-O-F. That's how you spell roof. I don't know if you heard, but that is how you spell roof. And the Brinkmans have been fixing roofs in the Houston area for how long? Forever. It's what they do. You're looking for the best place. Do not let somebody knock on your door and give you and say, hey, let me get up on your roof. Are you kidding me? First of all, the insurance implications, okay? Just don't do that. It is incredibly not smart for you to do something like that. You're looking for the best way to get your roof fixed. Do it for a company that's been around for 50 years. First of all, accountability. They're going to be here. They're going to stand behind the roof. It doesn't matter what kind of roof it is. If it's your home, your business, it's metal, it's shingles, it's whatever. Whatever kind of roof it is, the Brinkmans are going to stand behind every single thing that they do. Quality is in their name. 50 years the Brinkmans have been here fixing roofs in the Houston area. And Jason says, I have had to fix more of these roofs that people let the knock on the door guys. I had to fix more of those than I do regular business. That's how bad it is. So if you're looking for the best way, and you need to do this too, and you need somebody who knows how to handle insurance companies as well, and that's the Brinkmans, because they've been doing it forever. Looking for the best way to fix that roof, and if you haven't done anything in a while, you need to, BrinkmanQuality.com, BrinkmanQuality.com.
You are listening
listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. You want to get in with us on ESPN 97.5? You're more than welcome to hang. 713-780-3776 is the number to be with us. Did you see the guy who fouled the ball off of his guyons and ruptured a testicle? Like, I never heard of the guy before. He was, Joshua Kuroda Grower. Emergency surgery.
Yeah.
He plays for the A's. Fouled the ball, went right up, right in the guyons, and ruptured. Ruptured!
Story.
Every time I think of your buddy that got jumped off the back of the...
Oh! Oh! It's the worst story ever. Hey, why does my leg
no,
feel
No, don't
wet?
Even tell
okay.
it.
Yeah.
Don't even tell that story.
Yeah. It's a terrible, terrible story.
Should
I tell you the story, Del? It's absolutely awful.
The worst story ever.
Oh! I can't. I wish you wouldn't. And I was thinking this the whole time you were saying it. And then when you said it out loud, I started thinking about it again. I'm like, oh, my God.
Ow. No, that's the worst.
Oh.
So, speaking of cuts, another round at ESPN. Carl Ravage caught it.
Well, and so this was like, that's why it kind of sucks for Ryan Clark because he got isolated as Ryan Clark fired. Ryan Clark, the racist, is fired.
Right.
When the reality is he was going to be amongst the cuts. It's just that Athletic got word of it, and they were gonna drop a story, and ESPN's like, we don't want him to learn about this from a story while he's on the air. And so they told him while he was on the air. He was going to find out. It was going to drop the same time that Charles Davis and Carl Ravage and a guy named David Lloyd. I recognize David Lloyd, who is on SportsCenter. I saw his face. I'm like, they say he's been there since 97. Like, what? How do I not know his name then?
Yeah, no, he looks like one of the Saturday Night Live guys.
Yeah, the little blonde guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I recognize him. I've definitely seen him. I just never knew his name was David Lloyd.
I saw somebody report that Jay Billis was part of it.
That was a fake account.
Thank you. Because
944,000 views for a fake account.
Because I'm looking at Jay Billis would be a headline. If he was...
God, I wish there was some way that people had to have their identities and you would lose your account.
What if you get tased?
If you would lose your account. Well, you know I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, I know that.
I think automatic tasing would end all that nonsense.
I was like sad. Jay Billis, really?
No.
But here's the deal. If you made any money, you're out. Okay? Unless you... Of course, I saw a big article about Billis, about McAfee. McAfee, like said... He doesn't even work for ESPN, actually. He's a contractor.
And right, but they still
have to
pay
him. They don't
own
his show. He does.
No, and they have to pay him.
And he has to pay everybody on his show.
He pays for cameramen. He pays for everything.
Yeah,
pays for everything. But that's why his show is going to be over $60 million.
So Ryan Clark, Cam Newton.
Racist.
Bart Scott.
Racist.
Racist.
I thought you said it was anyone with money. I thought they were just... cleaning out all the racists at ESPN.
It could
Bart
be.
Scott's Let's not known like
David
that.
Who else? David Lloyd? Who else? Are they all
Carl
racist?
Ravage.
Carl Ravage? Are they all racist? Or is
Stephanie
it just,
Bell?
Well, card carrying.
Charles Davis, one of the nicest people. Can I read this to you? I sent this to Dell. John, let me read some. But I just said, you know, I'm a big fan of Charles Davis. And Charles and I are friends. And I don't. When I say friends, when we see each other, he's been amazing to me for my entire career. Would come on radio when he, you know, before I started working with him, he was great. While I was working with him, like Charles is one of the legitimately nicest people I've ever met. Just a phenomenal human being. You get that from TV when you watch him. It's exactly true. And I put something about Charles Davis. I was really sad to see him go. And this guy named Ricardo Martin says, on Twitter, he said, Charles Davis, too? Wow. One of the smartest, most articulate, and fair analyst ESPN had. I mean, he is articulate. Now, I will say this. I have never...
Not smart. You just said, he is articulate.
Yeah, he's smart. He's articulate. That word's interesting because I've never heard Daniel Jeremiah referred to as an articulate, like he's, because Daniel Jeremiah is actually very articulate when you listen to him.
Right. It's racist.
Like, it's just like, mumble, I can understand.
Mumble. No, I don't know.
To articulate, I can understand everything Daniel Jeremiah is
sure?
saying.
Sure. I thought his nickname was Mumble Mouth Jeremiah.
Mumbles Jeremiah?
Yeah.
No, he's actually very articulate.
Okay.
But I've never heard anyone refer to it like been
we
impressed
all
with his ability to be articulate.
Yeah, Charles Davis.
And
is
you're
a,
articulate, Del. You
surprisingly.
Actually, when Del. You speak, I understand everything yeah. you say.
Mm. Well, surprisingly articulate?
Well, I mean,
depends.
I guess, because Charles Davis, after being on
when
TV
they,
for over, you know,
when
25
people
years,
meet me at the upcoming listener appreciation party,
be able to understand
they're
going to
go, surprisingly articulate.
Well, you surprise people.
Yes, with something.
For whatever reason, you surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, so Charles Davis, who has been doing that job for multiple decades in some way, shape, or form, being a broadcaster.
Yeah, right. Well over college football, pro football. And this guy is impressed with, like, he's fair. He also said he's fair. He's intelligent. But, you know, one of the things that stood out is that he's really able to enunciate and get the words out to where I can understand him. And I just want you to know, I appreciate that about you as well.
Thank you.
John, not as much. He can't even spell roof. So we found it out yesterday.
Completely botched the word
"Chicago roof." Articulate, though.
Yeah,
well, that's
yeah,
true.
Exactly.
You're street smart. That's what you be.
I talk fast,
considered.
So I'm not always going
to
be
as articulate.
I don't
need to be able to spell roof.
It's unnecessary, really. No,
right. But you don't say things like.
For those of you who weren't here yesterday, idiots.
You were accused
said of
by multiple
roof.
People.
Yeah, multiple,
multiple,
they're multiple
dumb.
People believe, multiple. And then Del checked
no,
all four.
No, it's like you
commercials.
Said. Is that pink or is that? Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is? Was that a slipper or is that what is it?
Yeah, the people who heard who there's one that's an audio sound, and depending on what you're listening for, you will hear that. It's crazy. I don't know if you've ever heard that one, but there's the famous dress that was either black and it was either white and gold or black and bluish. Right.
And I always saw white and gold.
Either, I always saw black and blue.
And some people heard me say RROF.
Yeah, they sweared. Multiple people sweared like, no, John
when
said
I,
the wrong.
And then when I said I found the one that was just played and it was R-O-O-F like it's supposed to be. No, well, Del, there's one that's right and there's
Del,
one there's
two
wrong.
Of them.
And in fact, there's
of
four
them.
Of them and they're all
they're
the
all
same.
Correct.
They're actually
thank
the
you.
Same audio because smartly.
No, I just say it the same.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just Michael
just
had
I
you.
I did them all different.
But
oh,
John's
it.
Not, a, this is the point though. John's not very articulate. Well, you and Charles Davis.
That's why people thought
guys.
It was yeah. a double R instead
I've never,
of R double O.
I've never heard something you say like, "What is Del saying? He's not articulating." You're articulate, and Charles Davis is also
what about,
very articulate.
What about Tom Pelissero?
I found out
Tom Pelissero not as articulate.
No, I've actually found him to be very articulate. It's just no one ever gives him that credit.
That's a shame for Tom.
I know
and
that
also
is
shame
that
nobody
for him.
Gives Tom Pelissero articulation credit.
I never hear anyone go. Ian Rappaport, you know, he articulates really well. Like
how many
that.
The word articulate, how many times has it been applied to a white man?
To white people?
Yeah.
It's less. Maybe for young people, when you tell them, hey, articulate, like I've told my kids, you got to articulate with your words.
Well,
you have to
yeah.
tell kids now because they're just.
But as a compliment.
I'm just telling you, I've never heard it. I've never seen it. I've never seen Daniel Jeremiah, draft analyst.
Well spoken.
It is more. It is our more quick than fast.
Well spoken.
It is your more quick than fast.
Yes.
Right. It is your route running.
Yes, that's what it is.
You know, you're crafty with the route.
Surprisingly,
yeah, that's what. It's a thing. It's been a thing.
Alec Pierce is surprisingly fast.
That is our version of it. Yes.
Yeah. So I just read that, and I know the guy's not trying to. He's trying to big up Charles, and I just saw it, and I just said, let me send this to Del.
I saw it, and I thought to myself, that tracks.
So, yeah, Tom Pelissero also, who's extremely talented, great insider, has tons of connections. He'll find a job somewhere very, very quickly, but Tom Pelissero, and this is what happens when you have the merger. Like, I always knew CD, Charles Davis, was probably in a lot of trouble because they have, like, you have two businesses. John, you know how this works. You have two businesses, and they're going to try to shave off any redundancies and make it and streamline it and make it less expensive.
Yep.
And that's just how it is. You've got other analysts that are going to start using on ESPN now instead of Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark, juice wasn't worth the squeeze, makes too much, was having to apologize a bunch.
Well, did he
negotiated
cut,
his contract live on TV, basically, when he said, all right, this is my last show. And then he was back like a week later. But that was a move he made to try to force the image. And he's, remember, he's a David Mulgeta guy, too. Which I don't know that that matters for anything. I don't know if that was David's idea to say you were leaving TV when he did, and then he got a new contract. But
you survived the cuts, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't work at ESPN.
That's what I said. You survived the cuts.
A lot of people were wondering, you know, when the whole thing went down. I'm NFL.com technically, so right. I'm NFL media. We were not sold to ESPN, and if you really want to know the truth, I was happy about that. I was not sad about that, because once you go over there, now you got a lot of people you have to, you know, the odds were, and I think you're probably going to see, my guess is you'll see more cuts today, because that's just sports media. That's just the business. You get cut. This is not a great, it's not a great business right now. If you just really want to know the truth, peek behind the scenes in TV and radio, it's a lot tougher. It's a lot tougher than it was. Yeah. You have other content creators, and here's the thing, they don't really monetize that much. You got a lot of people hustling on Twitter, on YouTube. I appreciate the hustle. I personally, and I've told my kids this, my wife, of course, disagrees. You ask me, yeah, you can go to college and pick up your college debt and go get you a journalism degree or a broadcasting degree. But I'm telling you, I told Sebastian this, I would start my own YouTube channel and start doing MMA analysis. You really want to get started? Start your own broadcast channel right now. Start taking reps right now. Because that wasn't available to me or John, but I see guys make it that way. And there's fewer jobs in this business, and it's harder to come by, and it's just getting smaller and smaller all the time. Those are the, you know, Josh Pate started his own business. He's tried to work for other people. He realized, I'm going to start my own business. Pat McAfee, that's a little different. I mean, he obviously had a head start, but he owns his own. There's a lot of guys that own their own through social media. I think that's the way that we're going to see a lot of guys operate.
Well, we don't own this, so we have to take breaks.
But
we take them late because of talking longer.
Too much articulation. Too much articulation in this.
Right. So let's break right now and be inarticulate.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in. How about Braden Smith, named number 41 on the top 100?
No,
what
not
was,
a chance.
What
it's,
was that?
It's about the underrated players for 2026.
Oh, underrated players.
Okay. And he was in a tier with some other veterans. But yeah, he, as I mentioned, as a guy who could be a keep for this Texans offensive line. I won't even say resurgence, because what are they resurging from? They haven't been good, but a growth with the Texans.
Who else was on the list?
Yeah, Jalen Noel as a potential breakout candidate. They need that second wide receiver from someplace, and he was the guy who got the nod.
All right. If Tank Dell is back, which it appears, he did. I don't know if you've seen the video of him working out with, I forget who he was working out with, but he was running, he looked like he was running full speed, making cuts, no problems, looked great. I don't know how long he'll be around. I don't know how long Jalen Noel will be around because of their size. Not sure. But how much action is Jalen Noel going to see if Tank Dell is back?
A lot of punt and kick returns.
Yeah. That's not going to get you he was underrated. Now look at the production.
Yeah, it could be. If Tank is healthy and ready to go, I mean, oh well. Lots of teams have guys who are just return. He'll be a specialist.
Yeah,
he'll be a specialist and a backup slot receiver, I guess.
Well, either Noel or fellow Iowa State product Jaden Higgins goes here. But Noel gets the nod after Christian Kirk's departure. Noel will likely slide in as Houston's top slot option for an offense that needs a second pass catcher. I'm not sure that that's the case. I'm not sure that that's the case. He just is. With Tank's return, how much CJ loves Tank, the experience that Tank has, the production that Tank had in his rookie year. I think that's Tank's job, right?
Yeah, and he's CJ's guy.
He's CJ's guy,
which I think plays
CJ
into it.
And
D'Amico is, yeah, he's D'Amico's guy too, to an extent. Now, yeah, he's got to be healthy.
Yeah.
All these videos, I don't get off on just video. They do initially draw me in, and I'm like, well, let's see what happens in games. I remember I've seen videos of – I'm old enough to remember when there's videos of that crumb bum, Ben Simmons making three-pointers.
You crumb bum.
Summer leagues. Yeah. I'm like, hey, Ben Simmons is shooting three-pointers, guys. Yeah, he's not. I remember when Carmelo with Hoodie Carmelo was back, and this is this incredible basketball he's playing. You guys got to watch Melo. No. Tricks. Summer league basketball. Tricks. I just want to see Tank in game do it. But he does look like he can cut off of it hard, and that's probably 85% of the battle for him. Now, staying healthy at 155, maybe 160 after a pizza buffet, that's we won't know that until he plays.
Right. Well, is Jalen Noel so much bigger?
Yeah, he's better put together than Tank. Tank's legs are like popsicle sticks.
Tank is small. Tank is small.
But. Yeah, I mean, there's just a difference. Tank is a very small, slight, slender guy. Well, Jalen Noel, not as much. He's got regular size legs.
He's the smallest guard in the league right now, Tank.
Yeah.
Right?
Wait a minute. This can't be true. You know how big do you think Jalen Noel is? Jalen Noel is 5'11", 201. So, yeah, he's about 40 pounds heavier than Tank.
Yeah. I don't believe that, but okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where he weighed at the combine.
Yeah.
That's an actual and at his pro day. Yeah, that's way bigger than I thought. I would have thought he's in the 180s. No, at the combine, he was 5'10 and a quarter, 194. Still big, still good size. I mean, that's a good size wide receiver. He's well put together.
He and Jabari have grown this offseason.
Yeah, yeah. The size you have, the size that he's listed as what the Texans had when he came into camp last year. So maybe he is, because he may have actually gotten lighter at the combine, 194 to run, because he ran a 4.39. So it's not unusual for guys to get as light as possible before they run, actually. So, yeah, he's actually bigger than I thought he was.
The ESPN has the Texans betting on the Houston Texans in 2026. Defenses versus ever, rebound for Stroud. They have the Texans as somebody. Their futures are 9.5 wins, 18-1 to win the Super Bowl, plus 850 to win. That means if you bet 100, you win 850 to win the AFC. They're basically even money to win the AFC South. And they are one of the favorites, probably the favorite in the division to make the playoffs. So, ESPN, everybody's jumping on our team. Everybody's jumping on.
Are they jumping as hard? They were last year before. No, not last year. They were the year before. Last year, we were like, whatever, Texans suck. Everyone was down on the Texans.
Well, because of that offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And what are you going to do with this offensive line?
Well,
What are you going to do now that we have bullies who
what,
are sometimes
what,
healthy?
What?
What yeah. now, huh?
Let's go. Oh, yeah.
See that? You know how you do that thing where you look kind of like flexing
somebody's face real
fast? Don't
do that because you did that with our quarterback, okay? You did that with our quarterback, and he's like the worst in the league with when you're trailing in the fourth
quarter. No. Do you know how many playoff games?
Everybody was quarterback poor except you.
Do you know how many playoff games CJ has won?
I do.
Three.
Yeah.
In his 3 years.
It's a lot. That's a lot. A lot of people like to
Who has more playoff wins, him or
anytime Dak? You bring up that CJ really isn't playing well, it's about winning. What's his record? Is he winning?
Yeah.
I'm like, they literally won despite him against the... Like, he shouldn't even be given a win against the Steelers. It was all running game and elite defense. So, the quarterback wins.
A no decision in that one
I don't
for
know
him?
Why. I don't know why. It's just an argument thing. People love to go to the quarterback like, wins when they want to argue, and they try to get away from him. Do you make winning plays? Do you make winning plays? That's what I want to know on a play. You don't have to throw for 4,500 yards or whatever, but do you make winning plays at important times? You know how you know that? Just watch a game. You feel it. You see it. We know if a guy makes winning plays. You know, the argument that, look, there was an argument that I was involved in that had to do with elite quarterbacks. Like if you – Dune, he made the comment, one of the guys who follows us, and I follow him on Twitter, and he said – It basically was about needing everything to be great and, you know, around you. You keep needing all this stuff and you don't have a franchise quarterback. And I totally agreed. You don't have a franchise quarterback. If everything has to be top shelf around a guy, then you got a game manager is what you have. You don't have an elite quarterback can elevate things. You know, Joe Burrow, for all his injuries, he had a garbage offensive line, just terrible his second year and went to a Super Bowl. Because he was able to operate despite that. Josh Allen can operate despite having subpar receivers for quite a while now. Lamar Jackson didn't have, at one point had a decent running game before Derrick Henry. A pretty good offensive line, average wide receivers, below average wide receivers, good tight ends. Makes plays. Like Tom Brady, never had great outside wide receivers, like never, never. He was doing it with a bunch of Wes Welkers and Julian Edelmans, and then he had a Rob Gronkowski. But for years, he did it without, you know, he had Randy Moss 1 year, but he's still elevated. He elevated guys around him. Peyton Manning, after Edgerrin James left, no running game. No running game in Indianapolis. None after Edgerrin left. Elevated around him. Those are elite quarterbacks. If you have to have everything really good, if you keep making excuses because you need a new play caller, you need a new offensive line, you need a new – some guys do need that. Well, I'm not saying that's not needed, but if you keep adding and keep getting better and your guy never gets a lot better, then he's not an elite quarterback. You can still win with him, but I'm saying don't call him elite or a franchise. That's not a franchise. A franchise quarterback, you know what it looks like when you see it. Like, man, this guy's a dude. Matt Stafford, franchise quarterback.
Yeah. But
was Derek Carr a franchise quarterback to you? He threw over 4,000 yards. I never considered him a franchise quarterback.
No, he got paid, bro.
He did. He did. No, and that's the
You know who
that's the model.
Look at sometimes guys though, Sam Darnold, perfect. He walked into an unbelievable situation. Look at all the talent that they have. And you know what? They needed a guy that would just – and that's what CJ has to do, what Sam Darnold did last year, take care of the ball in the postseason. Darnold wasn't that great in the regular season. They overcame it with their defense. The Texans overcame, you know, the inefficiency in the regular season. But in the postseason, take care of the football. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. We got to talk about Houston Powder Coaters. We got to talk about – your city, how great your city looks, how great your city looked for the World Cup. And a big reason for that was because the city, the county, I don't know who it was, but they hired Houston Powder Coaters to go around and make sure that the city looked great. They made them look at all of the light poles and, I mean, just make everything look great. And they did. And that's what Houston Powder Coaters did. And Houston Powder Coaters continues to do that. Houston Powder Coaters, absolutely free. They'll pick up your whatever it is, your patio furniture, your boat parts, your car parts, your whatever metal that you have. You have a trailer that you haul around your smoker with. Is that something? You got a trailer that you haul around stuff in the city, whatever equipment that you need, and it's rusting out. Well, Houston Powder Coaters can help you make it look great, because that is when you pull up to wherever it is you're pulling up. You know, people have an impression of your trailer, whatever that is. And if you need it looking great because you're dealing with people all the time, then Houston Powder Coaters will make it look great. Not only make it look great, but make it last. Make it last for a long, long, long time. Can't afford a new one? Well, that's okay, because Houston Powder Coaters will make it last. You're looking for the best way to powder coat whatever it is. Our peeps are the best. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.